Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Blueprint for Life. And I am V, the preacher, coming to you live on Babylon Talk Radio. And it indeed is a pleasure to be before you on another Shabbat and to bring you exhortation, encouragement, and hope as you're resting and being refurbished, refreshed, renewed, refilled. I pray you had a great week and that you're allowing the Most High to establish you as you respect his holy day, the Shabbat, and as we continue to endure. Truly, the most integral part of doing the work is keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. We are not trying to be lawless. He's not coming back for the lawless. He's coming back for those that he knows. Scripture says, we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If you say that you love him and you don't keep his laws, his commandments, which makes you kodesh and set apart, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. It is a joy to have an opportunity to keep the Shabbat and the commandments because it's a sign between us and him when we do such things. That track you just heard is called Shammai, which is the salutation we give to one another. And it's also called Shemayah. We salute the Father in that song. And that's from the new album, The Jazz of Judah, Part 2, which you can stream over Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, iTunes, etc. I pray that, as I said, you are not focusing on the fear mongering and the fear campaign that's going on all around us, fear of another lockdown, compliance, masks, mandates. Let's take our minds off of that and focus on making sure our temples are right, that we have the Holy Spirit and we're in obedience, that we're releasing the malice, unforgiveness, and hatred out of our hearts, especially for those that are wronging us, that do us wrong. Not only the other nations, but even your own family members that come, as the Bible said, to be enemies of your own household. people that you never thought would turn their back on you because you're keeping these laws and commandments. You got to have forgiveness in your heart. And what I encourage you to do is to, what I encourage you to do is to not forget where you came from and what he delivered you from. We have a tendency to do that. When you're blessing your food in the evening, I need you to think about the time when you couldn't eat what you wanted, or you were eating TV dinners or nothing at all, pretty much, because you didn't have money and you were trying to borrow money. I need you to remember that you were once maybe a dope fiend or a whoremonger or an adulterer, and that you had no control and that you were lawless. Oh, how quick we forget, and we get lofty, arrogant, and mighty as to where we stand right now. So the scripture does say, forgetting those things that are behind us, we do press toward the mark. But you don't need to forget how good Yah has been to you and the testimonies that you possess. That's why you often need to tell them and share them with other people. I'm not going to be before you long. I'm going to do a reading out of Ecclesiasticus. If you have your Apocrypha, the 14 books that were taken out of the 1611 KJV, if you have your Apocrypha, you can follow with me. We're going to go to Ecclesiasticus 18, and we're going to title this reading what's inside this chapter called Multiplied Compassion, something the Most High has had for us because he saw the end of our days. So we have multiplied compassion given to us. But before I do so, I want to read something out of 2 Maccabees, which is also in the Apocrypha. And it's the second book of Maccabees, the first chapter. And I want to read this because it's a prayer. And I think this prayer is so indicative of the situation of the Israelites that we are in right now. What's happening in this chapter, they're getting ready to go into the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's causing them to remember their captivity in Persia and what they went through. And so before they got ready to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which is coming up early. First, we got trumpets, and then we've got atonement. We need to start preparing for the fast now. And then we go into the remembering of the Exodus and the Feast of Tabernacles, which is representative of the of Mashiach coming back and tabernacling amongst us, dwelling with us. But listen to this prayer, which is in 2 Maccabees, the first chapter, and the 24th verse. This is a very powerful prayer. It says, and the prayer was after this manner. O Yah, our Adonai, creator of all things, who art fearful and strong and righteous and merciful, and the only and gracious King, verse 25, the only giver of all things, the only just, almighty, and everlasting, thou that deliverest Israel from all trouble, and did choose the fathers and sanctified them. Verse 26, receive the sacrifice for thy whole people, Israel, and preserve thine own portion and sanctify it. Gather those together that are scattered from us and deliver them that serve among the heathens. Look upon them that are despised and abhorred, and let the heathen know that thou art our Yah. Punish them that oppress us and with pride do us wrong. Plant thy people again in the holy place, as Moses hath spoken. And the priests sung psalms of thanks and giving. If you've got that book, I want you to highlight that and let that be a prayer that you pray for Israel and our people, that it might be so for all of our people that are scattered abroad, that still oppressed and that go through things. Listen, keeping these statutes and laws and commandments does not remove all of your problems and situations, but there will be a hedge of protection around those that endeavor and endure and strive to keep these statutes, laws, and commandments. You'll find yourself being like Job. And Job was protected. The enemy can't get to you unless the Most High allows if the Most High allows, you are up for promotion. And hopefully the strength that you've acquired during your lifestyle of righteousness and statutes and law keeping has put you in a place of practice to be able to endure hardness and trials as a good soldier, knowing that no weapon formed against you can prosper. Let's get ready to go before our Father in prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemayim. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are in debt to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Be not far from us. Go before us. Heal our wounds and our sicknesses. Set free the oppressed and depressed. Set free the possessed. We ask these blessings and we worship you and we praise you, knowing that you inhabit the praises of your people. May your people learn to war in the spirit properly, to seek you through fasting and praise, and to learn how to count it all joy, no matter what they're going through. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. All right, let's get to this reading. It's just one chapter. Have a little commentary in between. That's Ecclesiasticus, not Ecclesiastes in the KJV. Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, chapter 18. First verse says this: He that liveth forever created all things in general. The Most High only is righteous, and there is none other but He. Who governeth the world with the palm of His hand, and all things obey His will? For He is the King of all by His power, dividing holy things among them from profane. You need to pay attention to what I just said. He is the king who governeth the world. Satan is only the prince and power of the air because he's been given a small window to rule over us from the mistakes of our forefather Adam and mother Eve, that has been handed over to have jurisdiction, but he can't move or harm or touch the saints, because he governeth all, and he is the king of all, and his power is dividing holy things among them from the profane. So you're set apart. I continue and I digress at the same time. Verse 4, to whom hath he given power to declare his works, and who shall find out his noble acts? Verse 5, who shall number the strength of his majesty, and who shall also tell out his mercies? As for the wondrous works of the Most High, there may nothing be taken from them, neither may anything be put unto them, neither can the ground of them be found out. Verse 7, when a man hath done, then he beginneth, and when he leaveth off, then he shall be doubtful. 8, what is man, and whereto serveth he? What is his good and what is his evil? The number of a man's days at the most are 100 years. As a drop of water unto the sea, and a gravel stone in comparison of the sand. That's your life that you're trying to clutch and grip and hold on to. You're only here for a quick drop in order to be proven for the next life and to gain eternal life, hopefully, through your obedience in this life, which is he's showing you how brief it is. Verse 10 again, your life is as a drop of water unto the sea and a gravel stone in comparison of the sand. How dare you be so arrogant to think you're all that because Satan has puffed you up or your knowledge has puffed you up. This should make you very humble in life in your approach to other people. Verse 11, therefore is Yah patient with them and poureth forth his mercy upon them, because he knows how brief this is. Verse 12, he saw and perceived therein to be evil, which is death, which has been conquered by Yeshua HaMashiach. He got the keys to death and hell, but when he comes back, death and hell and the grave will be thrown into hell, the lake of fire. As far as dying, that will be no more. We'll have eternal life. So many of us have this fear of death, not really understanding the essence, briefness of this life, and the essence of who we really are, a living soul that cannot die, but has the opportunity now to determine where it will spend eternity. Verse 12, he saw and perceived their end, our end, to be evil. Therefore, he multiplied his compassion. And that's what this chapter is talking about. And the title of this lesson is verse 12, multiplied compassion, because he understands the end of our lives are painful. Everyone is weeping, crying, sitting around the bed, standing around the bed. It's a tremendous blow. It's a loss. That's why we go through a grieving process. And he allows for, I believe it was 30 days they grieved Moses. And then he said, now let's go. Enough is enough. You turn the page from the book of Exodus and it leads right into Joshua, taking over and continuing the sojourn into the promised land. Verse 13. The mercy of man is toward his neighbor, but the mercy of the Adonai is upon all flesh. He reproveth and nurtureth and teacheth and bringeth again as a shepherd to the flock. He hath mercy on them that receive discipline. Did you hear that? And that diligently seek after his judgments. So if you're looking for mercy in this life, you must be one who's willing to be disciplined. And that is not a process that goes without pain. Some of the times when we go through our aches and pains and sicknesses, you're being chastised or you're being disciplined. There's a lot of us that when we feel our full health, we abuse ourselves. It seems like when you go through some things, you're more inclined to stay on your knees, talk to the Father, move slower, and he has your attention. But then there's times when you feel youthful, young, no pains in your body that day. Some people take that as an occasion to go sin or to rest on their laurels, do something they shouldn't have any business doing. That's why the youth are so caught up into mischief, fornication, and adultery, because they feel like they're going to live forever. I digress. Verse 15, my son, blemish not thy good deeds. Pause right there. Blemish not thy good deeds. What does that mean? There's a chapter in book. There's a verse in Ezekiel in the KJV that makes it clear that all your good works that have been done can be erased out of the book and blotted out by you sinning and possibly dying in your sins. All that's erased. But when you come to the Father before passing or dying, and you do these good works while in the Father, and you die that way, all your good works are on the books, in the records, and precede you. But you can wipe them out, and this scripture attests to that. Don't blemish your good deeds. It's all been in vain. That's why some people will get caught up into charity and do these little kind acts, but they're still living in sin. They're still being disobedient to the law, the dietary law, dishonoring their parents and different things like that. It means nothing because you're blemishing your good deeds. Verse 15 says, neither use uncomfortable words when thou givest anything. Don't use uncomfortable words. You don't say bad things. We need to really watch our mouths. Verse 16, shall not the dew assuage the heat? So is a word better than a gift. Words are better than giving gifts. Lo, is not a word better than a gift? But both are with a gracious man. A fool will upbraid churlishly, and a gift of the envious consumeth the eyes. Learn before thou speak, and use physic, or ever thou be sick. That word physic is saying to use herbs, to treat thyself, to take some green food every day, green powder. That's actually in 19. It says use physic, or you will forever be sick. So it's important to treat yourself daily with the nutrients that the Most High has made that come from this green earth. Verse 20, before judgment, examine yourself. And in the day of visitation, you will find mercy if you check yourself. Most people know they've sinned and they've done wrong, and they don't check themselves and repent and confess their sin out loud. David had enough sense to know when he messed up to take off his kingly garments, rip them off, roll around in dirt and ash and dust, and fast and seek forgiveness for days on end. It was taught to me early on, and that's a premise from David, that you should judge yourself before the Most High judges you when you know you have messed up, and not think that it was unseen, unnoticed, or just shrug it off and say, oh, well, better luck next time. No, this scripture is telling you before judgment, you better examine yourself. Verse 21 says, humble thyself before thou be sick, and in the time of sins, show repentance. Let nothing hinder thee to pay thy vow in due time, and defer not until death to be justified. Don't just die off without taking care of your debts or something that you owe somebody, or say it'll be squashed at that time. Verse 23, listen to this closely. Before thou prayest, prepare thyself, and be not as one that tempteth the Adonai, the Most High. What does that say? A lot of us don't even cleanse ourselves, wash ourselves, prepare ourselves before we pray. It was even before you start your Shabbat. If you've been intimate with your spouse, you're supposed to be in the shower before you do such a thing. The priest had to wash his hands and cleanse himself before going to the holy place. The Most High is saying, prepare yourself before you enter into the holy days, into prayer, into fasting. That means you should have repented, examined yourself, and come to him correctly, because you don't want to come to him with strange fire and be destroyed and consumed like the prophet's sons. You don't bring him strange fire. You don't come at the Most High any kind of way. He's not going to even hear or receive your prayer if you have not repented for something you did earlier. So examine yourself. So there's a time of quietness and meditation before you move into prayer, because what happens is we get into a habit, a routine, let me put it that way. Let me just fall back into the routine. But this is a holy thing. Moses would even take off his shoes. Women are supposed to cover your heads. How dare you not have on a head covering in a Shabbat service, honoring your father and wanting to be lowly and cover up your glory? Because your hair is your glory. It's not your cover. It's your glory. It's your pride of your beauty. That's why you flick it and play with it when men are looking at you, because it's enticing. It's not about you when you come into the holy place and it's a Shabbat and we're getting ready to go before the Father in prayer. You're honoring your head. You're not married to the Most High being your head. You cover it. Verse 24 after that says, think upon the wrath that shall be at the end and the time of vengeance when he shall turn his face away from you. When thou hast enough, remember the time of hunger. When you have a refrigerator full of food, you need to remember when you were hungry. And when you are rich, think upon poverty and need. When you got enough money to go do what you need to do, You need to stop and think about poverty and need. Walk out your house and pay attention. Don't take things for granted. Verse 26, from the morning until the evening, the time is changed, and all things are soon done before the Most High. 27, a wise man will fear in everything. In the day of sinning, he will beware of offense, but a fool will not observe time. Every man of understanding knoweth wisdom and will give praise unto him that found her. They that were of understanding in sayings become also wise themselves and poured forth exquisite parables. Listen to verse 30 closely. Go not after thy lusts. I repeat, go not after thy lusts. What looks good, what smells good, what sounds good, what tastes good. Would you go not after thy lusts, but refrain thyself from thine appetites. Discipline, self-control. Verse 31, if thou givest thy soul the desires that please her, she will make thee a laughing stock to thine enemies that malign thee. What is it saying? If you're constantly chasing after your lust, let's deal with food. Cholesterol, diabetes, 600-pound life, got too far. How's it making you look like a fool? Everybody can see that you have become gluttonous and obese. Consuming yourselves with multiple affairs and lovers and then dying of AIDS or some venereal disease. Or being talked about in the streets as being like they're talking about how many bodies they have. But then people start finding out about other issues that you're starting to have. I digress. Verse 32. Take not pleasure in much good cheer, neither be tied to the expense thereof. Be not made a beggar by banqueting upon borrowing. That's partying and always going something, doing something, taking out loans and borrowing from people. When thou hast nothing in thy purse, for thou shalt lie in wait for thine own life and be talked on. A little wisdom goes a long way. And I hope you were blessed by that Ecclesiasticus reading, multiplied compassion. That's what we need to know and understand that we are experiencing in this life that we live. I want to read something else before I go, and this is important. He gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him, and the Holy Spirit has always, when it descends upon a person, has given wisdom and knowledge, and wisdom is the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, Sophia in the Greek, and it's a feminine spirit. Yes, it is, and you find that if you read the Wisdom of Solomon, and when the Most High promotes the Holy Spirit, like verse 29, it says, for she is more beautiful than the sun and above all the order of the stars, being compared with the light, she is found before it. That's in the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 29. But here's the one I wanted to point out. For the Most High loveth none. Let me make that clear for you. For the Most High loveth no one but him that dwelleth with wisdom. You have not gained his love until you have submitted yourself to the point of obedience to the commandments, to where you have received the Holy Spirit wisdom. I'll read that again. For the Most High loveth none but him that dwelleth with wisdom. Solomon could add anything he wanted. He said, give me wisdom. You want multiplied compassion? Seek wisdom. Ruach HaKodesh. And earn the love of the Most High. Yeah, that's who you need on your side in this hour. Don't worry about no more pestilence. We've dealt with that in Psalms 91. We're going to be good. He's going to take care of us. Somebody, a remnant, has to remain here to inherit the earth. Not all shall sleep. Not all shall die before he returns. There will be a remnant. All right, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. See the preacher saying, Shabbat Shalom, enjoy the rest of your Shabbat.